Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 7th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the Northeast faces its first major winter storm of the year.
Wall Street awaits the highly anticipated December jobs report.
A top Fed official weighs in on rate hikes as soon as March.
And GameStop surges on news it's getting into non-fungible tokens.
Road crews are busy treating streets for the snowy morning commute. Plus, it's sentencing day in Georgia for three white men in the murder of Ahmaud Arbery. I'm Mike Ubar. More ahead.
I'm John Stashare in sports. A big comeback, a shot at the buzzer, and the Knicks beat the Celtics. The Devils won. The Rangers lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 106.1 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. S&P futures higher ahead of today's jobs report. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures up 40. NASDAQ futures little change. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 1.72%. The yield on the two-year, 0.87%. And Bitcoin this morning at $42,300. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute. First, a snowstorm is blanketing the Northeast this morning. Let's get to the details and how it may affect the roads from Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Nathan. The storm that's in the process of developing off the coast of southern New England, well, it's already brought some snow to the district in Baltimore, though the storm is about done there. They'll have very little additional accumulations. In fact, the sun will be coming out quickly this morning. New York City, any additional accumulations this morning are under 2 inches. The snow should be done in the tri-state area by about midday. And as we head up into Boston, there the storm is only getting going now. We'll be dealing with snow heavy at times through the morning commute and into the midday hours. It looks like Boston's probably going to receive the highest totals from this storm.
Okay, Rob, so what kind of accumulations are we thinking we're going to get from this storm?
Nathan, no additional accumulations in the District of Baltimore, New York City. Anything that falls is under 2 inches this morning, and in the Boston area, 4 to 7 inches is likely. I'm Rob Carolyn, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Rob, thank you. And of course, we'll be checking in with you throughout the morning. But first, let's turn to the markets. We're capping off a volatile week with a highly anticipated jobs report for December. Estimates call for payroll gains of 447,000. Here with more is Bloomberg economics correspondent Michael McKee.
Two questions hang over the December payrolls report. Will there be an Omicron effect? And how will the Fed see the report in the context of policy moves? The survey week was in the first half of December, before the COVID variant dominated the news or infections. ADP says it didn't affect hiring all that much, reporting a big gain in leisure and hospitality jobs. But the ISM Services Index suggests services hiring slowed during the month. The December 15th Fed minutes released this week show policymakers felt then the U.S. was close to full employment. If that's ratified by the monthly jobs report, it may mean the Fed is ready to start raising rates. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. So when it comes to Fed policy, St. Louis President Jim Bullard's weighing in, enforcing the view that rate hikes could start this spring.
The FOMC could also begin raising the policy rate as early as the March meeting in order to be in a better position to control inflation.
Jim Bullard made the comments to the CFA Society in St. Louis. He's traditionally one of the most hawkish members of the Fed.
Well, Nathan, jobs matter to the Fed, but so does the pandemic. Coronavirus cases continue to come in near record highs, and testing remains a challenge. Abbott Laboratories CEO Robert Ford tells us he's ramping up production of COVID tests.
We've seen, obviously, a new variant, a pretty highly transmissible variant, in combination with a period of the year where there's a lot of travel. Thanksgiving and Christmas, people wanted to get together. So the combination of those two factors really had a pretty unprecedented demand here.
Abbott CEO Robert Ford says the company expects to produce 70 million tests this month.
Well, the White House and the U.S. Postal Service are making final plans to deliver a half billion test kits to households, Karen. That's according to the Washington Post, which says they want to begin shipping tests by the middle of this month. An official announcement could come next week.
From New York to L.A., Nathan, major metro areas across the country are getting hit hard by COVID. Some of the details now from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter, beginning in Chicago.
Almost 90% of the city's ICU beds are occupied. It has canceled classes for a third day because of cases and disagreement with teachers over COVID tests. Meanwhile, New York City expects to have 2.5 million more at-home tests in hand today, but they are going for the reopening of schools. In Los Angeles, cases have sidelined more than 800 police and firefighters, and Alaska Airlines cut 120 flights yesterday. And according to FlightAware, an industry-wide almost 2,000 flights because of employee illness combined with weather. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. With flights canceled, the travel industry's under pressure again. Marriott President Stephanie Linnert says these are real challenges, but they won't derail the recovery.
And while there was bumps from Delta, the business came back very quickly when we got past that variant. We're anticipating the same thing with Omicron, that we will see some bumps in the recovery, and it depends. We have 30 brands in 140 countries, so we'll see some bumps, but we don't think it's going to stop the recovery.
Marriott President Stephanie Linnertz made the comments in an interview on Bloomberg Television. Shares of Marriott are trading near an all-time high to start the year.
Omicron continues to impact the workplace, Nathan. Bank of America is the latest company pushing back return-to-office plans. And we get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
The company encouraged its U.S. employees to work remotely through the week starting January 10th as the bank evaluates its next move. This, according to an internal memo, the firm had earlier advised workers to stay home through at least this week. In the memo, the bank also continued to encourage staff to get fully vaccinated and receive booster shots, stopping short of implementing a full mandate. In New York, Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. In the markets today, the turbocharged worlds of cryptocurrencies and meme stocks have collided. Shares of GameStop are up more than 18% in early trading. That's after the company announced plans to launch a marketplace for non-fungible tokens by the end of the year. The company's also in talks with crypto and blockchain companies about which tokens could be used on the platform. S&P futures are up 5 points. Dow futures up 40. NASDAQ futures higher by 4 points. And the 10-year Treasury is little change. The yield 1.72%. Looking at Bitcoin right now, trading at $42,400. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 5:07 on Wall Street. It is snowing, 29 degrees in Central Park. We got a lot of jackknife tractor trailers already with this storm coming down. Peter Van has got a crucial traffic report coming up for you in just a few minutes. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Parts of the tri-state area are under a winter storm warning. The fast-moving system is expected to dump 3 to 6 inches of snow by the end of the morning, but it will make the commute a mess, as you've already heard. Emergency preparations are underway, but with record COVID cases and isolation rates, some departments are working at a disadvantage against the incoming weather. Edward Grayson, the commissioner of New York's Department of Sanitation, says he believes they'll have enough staff to prepare for the storm, but they'll have to extend shifts and work around current shortages.
Just like every other city agency, we've been definitely hit hard in this recent wave and uptick in COVID cases. Right now, we're about 23% staffing outage.
Sanitation Commissioner Grayson says for now, they will be operating in 12-hour shifts. It is sentencing day for three white men convicted of murder in the deadly chase and shooting of Ahmaud Arbery. In November, a Georgia jury found father and son Greg and Travis McMichael and their neighbor William Bryan guilty of murder and other crimes in the February 2020 killing of the 25-year-old black man. University of Georgia Law Chair Emeritus Ron Carlson says Superior Court Judge Timothy Walmsley has limited options because murder carries a mandatory life sentence in Georgia.
The judge's options are very narrow, but these are very important distinctions. Does he levy a sentence of life without parole or life with parole?
Carlson with the University of Georgia says the jury's verdict sent a message that vigilante justice will not be tolerated. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is set to make a virtual appearance today before an Albany judge. Prosecutors are moving to dismiss the only criminal charge filed against the Democrat in connection with the sexual harassment allegations that drove him from office. It accused Cuomo of groping an aide in the executive mansion in December of 2020, 8 months before he resigned. Online sports betting in New York is a day away from reality. The New York Gaming Commission says that it has approved mobile operator licenses for Caesars, DraftKings, FanDuel, and BetRivers Rush Street Interactive. They can begin taking wagers as of 9 a.m. local time Saturday. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashow.
Well, good morning, Nathan. An absolutely epic game at the Garden. This game had everything. A big comeback. Knicks trailed the Celtics by 25 in the first half. They were still down by 18 in the third quarter. A tremendous individual performance. The ex-Celtic, Evan Fournier, who had already had two 32-point games versus Boston, went for a career-high 41. He tied a Knicks record with 10 three-pointers, and this game had an amazing finish.
Far sideline, half court left, 1.5 to go, tie game at 105. To Barrett, one dribble, right wing three for the win. Baker is good! He banked it in! Barrett banked it in! And the Knicks have won the ball game at the buzzer!
Cohen called it on WEPN. Barrett, who scored 32 the other night, was having a bad game. He had shot 3 of 14 before hitting that game winner. These two teams play again tomorrow night in Boston. The Nets play Milwaukee tonight in Brooklyn, which means Kyrie Irving cannot play due to the vaccine mandate. He's got to wait until the next road game, which is Monday in Portland. The Rangers on the road for five straight games. Not a good start for the trip. A 5-1 loss in Vegas. Rangers only had 19 shots on goal. Devils beat Columbus 3-1. Jack Hughes in on all three, a goal plus two assists. Eric Chavez, just hired to be the Yankees' assistant hitting coach, has already resigned. He got a better job as the Mets' hitting coach. Season finales for the Giants and Jets Sunday. The Giants limp to the finish, hosting Washington. Patriots fans will root for the Jets to upset the Bills in Buffalo. New England needs a win in Miami and a Buffalo loss to win the AFC East. John Stashelli, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 48. NASDAQ futures up 25 points. The 10-year Treasury little change. The yield 1.72% ahead of the December payrolls report. We'll look ahead to it with BMO senior economist Jennifer Lee just ahead. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. It's snowing. Winter weather advisory till noon today with a high near 35. Mostly sunny, low 30s tomorrow. We'll be near 40 on Sunday with rain. 29 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures higher ahead of today's jobs report. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 46. And NASDAQ futures now higher, up 21. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. The 10-year Treasury a little change. Yield 1.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.87%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1%, up 84 cents at $80.30 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $3.70 at $17.92.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1316 against the dollar. British pound 1.3553. The yen's at 115.82. And checking Bitcoin this morning, moving lower at $42,300. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The Supreme Court is taking up two major Biden administration efforts to bump up the nation's vaccination rate against COVID-19. The justices are hearing arguments today about whether to allow the administration to enforce a vaccine or testing requirement that applies to large employers and a separate vaccine mandate for most healthcare workers. The White House and U.S. Postal Service are making final plans to deliver 500 million coronavirus test kits to households. The Washington Post reports officials seek to begin shipments by the middle of January. In the NBA, the Knicks beat the Celtics 108-105. The Warriors lost. The Devils won. The Rangers and Bruins lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and it is Jobs Friday.
Here to look ahead to the final payrolls report of 2021 with us is Jennifer Lee, senior economist at BMO Capital Markets. Jennifer, good to have you back with us this morning. The survey number is 447,000 new jobs added in December. The whisper number on the Bloomberg terminal is 500,000. Are you looking for an upside surprise?
Good morning. You know what? We are, our official call is actually just about 300,000, and I think the ADP report that was out on Wednesday may have pushed expectations up with its sizable 807,000 increase. But, you know, that sometimes throws everyone for a loop. I think anything over 300,000 would be considered a decent enough number to keep the Fed on its current path right now. But, you know, I kind of feel like it's almost like Groundhog Day, you know, in many respects, you know, because month after month, we're always looking for some sort of a gain in jobs to help us determine which way the Fed's going to, what the Fed's going to do or not going to do. And I feel like things are a little bit different now with the central bank being a more aggressive and with QE ready to be put to bed in March. And I think this will all make the March meeting live.
Well, what makes you lower than consensus? What are you looking at?
I think that's just the fact that, you know, there is still a lot of hesitation on returning to the workforce. But of course, at the same time, you know, you've got, you're being enticed by, you know, the fact that, you know, you need a job and there's all these different options out right now for you with many employers offering a lot more incentives, a lot more, you know, higher salaries, more vacations, more benefits and all that just to entice you over because there is such a shortage right now. But I think, you know, I think 300,000 is nothing, is maybe below consensus, but I think it's still considered a pretty sizable gain.
So then are you looking for evidence of wage inflation in this report?
We are. I mean, that's definitely one of the factors. And again, that's probably going to be the biggest thing that will, again, bring workers back into the labor force. And we have been seeing that month after month. We're seeing that in other indicators as well, just the broader personal income survey with wages and salaries and, of course, the ECI as well. And, you know, when you see we read about all the anecdotes that we see from the ISM surveys that we saw this week, you know, again, the biggest complaint is still tons of shortages of not just materials and widgets, but there's just, you know, no let up in shortages of people or human beings. And, you know, to quote a famous singer, you know, there are people who need people.
Yeah. Where are you seeing some of the biggest sectors that are showing evidence of slack in the market?
I think, you know, when you're looking at the labor, the leisure and hospitality, for example, that's still an area that, you know, that is still seeing a lot of shortages of workers. And that's where, you know, when you're getting minimum wage and, you know, helping, like lifting the minimum wage would help, obviously. But, you know, it's not an easy job, especially now with COVID and being and enforcing mask wearing and that sort of thing. So that's where you're going to see a lot more employers trying to lift wages even further just to bring workers back.
So are you looking for real evidence that there may be an Omicron effect on the labor market, given how many people might still be on the sidelines? I think we're going to see at least the first emergence of the strain during this reporting period, right?
I don't know how it might be a bit early for this reporting period, but I think for sure it's definitely going to be showing up. I think it'll probably show up more in the January report, you know, so we'll get the numbers in early February. But for sure, you know, the COVID in general, it has its fingerprints all over this, all over all the economic reports, and I don't think that's going to be going away anytime soon, unfortunately.
So in our last minute here, if we get a lower than expected number, what could that mean for the Fed's policy path?
Well, I will always be looking. Obviously, the headline is always very important, but I always like to look at the revisions, and that sort of gives you like the broader look on the overall labor market. And you know, so far, you know, if you have upward revisions, if you've got, you know, decent gains in across all sectors, you know, I think that would still reflect overall a strong labor market. And right now, I think for the Federal Reserve, it's almost looking for a reason not to raise rates earlier than expected. But again, if it's strong, I think that'd be a great result and it'd be win-win for everyone.
And according to BMO, 300,000 would be a strong number. Jennifer Lee, senior economist, BMO Capital Markets. Again, thanks for your insights ahead of the release of the December payrolls report coming out just about 3 hours from now. Of course, we will have full coverage throughout the day here on Bloomberg Radio and live reaction from Labor Secretary Marty Walsh. That's coming up later on this morning after the release of the payrolls report. So tune back into Bloomberg Radio and check it out on Bloomberg Television once that interview comes around. In the meantime, S&P futures are up almost 9 points. Dow futures up 51. NASDAQ futures higher by 27 points. No change to the 10-year. Right now, the yield is at 1.72%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather is a winter weather advisory till noon today with another inch or so of snow possible, high near 35 degrees. Sunshine tomorrow, low 30s. Rain and a high near 40 on Sunday.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Snow is blanketing the Northeast this morning. We got more on that coming up with Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin. But first, futures are higher ahead of the December jobs report. Economists are forecasting a rebound from last month with a gain of 447,000 jobs. Begin more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
U.S. payroll growth missed Wall Street forecasts in November with a tepid gain, just 210,000, the weakest showing since December 2020. Bloomberg Economics says the COVID-19 Omicron variant could weigh on the December data. At the same time, weekly jobless claims remain near a half-century low, running at 207,000, and U.S. job openings have been running at all-time highs. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. Traders will be watching that jobs data for any hints on future Fed policy. St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard's weighing in. He says the central bank could start hiking rates as soon as March.
Well, Nathan, the Fed's also watching the pandemic as COVID cases continue to come in near record highs. Testing also remains an issue. And now the Washington Post reports the White House is working on a plan to deliver 500 million test kits to households.
Turning to markets today, Karen, shares of GameStop are up 18% in early trading. Bloomberg News has learned the company plans to launch a marketplace for non-fungible tokens by the end of the year. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The source says it's in talks with crypto and blockchain companies about which tokens could be used on the NFT marketplace. It's also said to be discussing with partners the potential for creating a number of funds of up to $100 million each to invest in NFT content creators and gaming companies. Over the last few months, the source says GameStop has assembled a team of more than 20 people that's focused on the crypto-related push. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And Bitcoin is falling this morning. This latest slide has the digital token now trading at its lowest level since September. It's off about 40% from its record reached in November. And checking Bitcoin right now, it's at about $42,300. That's down about 1.8%. Futures are higher, as we said. S&P futures up 12 points. Dow futures up 66. NASDAQ futures up 48. And the 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. The yield 1.72%. The yield on the 2-year 0.87%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 84 cents at $80.29 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports and the snow. This is Bloomberg.
Matt Karen, 5:33 on Wall Street. It is snowing. Yes, indeed. 29 degrees in Central Park and a lot of crashes, as you can imagine. Peter Vann's got the details shortly. First, Michael Barr with more on the forecast and what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Oh, Nathan, egads. The snow weather is impacting the tri-state area. In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy has declared a state of emergency. Winter storm warnings have also been issued for Long Island. In Connecticut, Governor Ned Lamont has closed state offices. Let's get a look at the weather system that's causing headaches with Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin.
Michael, the snow across the tri-state area will taper off and end around midday. It's already ending down around the Washington area, and that trend will work its way towards the north and east this morning. Again, the worst of the weather is going to be off to our north and east out towards New England, where they could see over half a foot in some spots. Much of the tri-state area picking up a couple of inches. And again, improving conditions for the afternoon. I expect the afternoon commute to be much better than this morning's. Michael?
Thank you very much, Rob. Emergency preparations are underway to get the streets in shape because of the winter weather. New York Sanitation Commissioner Ed Grayson says the city is well prepared for the snow.
In the end of the day, we have a very robust number of staff to be able to man all of our a full salt spreader complement, a large number of plows on extended tours. We're going to shift our operation to two 12-hour days.
Ed Grayson of New York's Sanitation Department says they're ready despite a 23% staff shortage due to COVID. Classes in Chicago were canceled for a third consecutive day amid an ongoing fight with the teachers union over remote learning and other COVID-19 safety protocols. Three white men convicted of murder in the deadly chase and shooting of Ahmaud Arbery are due back in court for sentencing today. A Georgia jury in November found father and son, Greg and Travis McMichael, and their neighbor, William Bryan, guilty of murder in the February 2020 killing of the 25-year-old black man. University of Georgia Law Chair Emeritus Ron Carlson says it's likely the judge already has an idea of what the sentence will be.
The jury's verdict sent a message that vigilante justice will not be tolerated, and the chances are the judge will reinforce that message.
Emeritus Ron Carlson says it's unclear whether the McMichaels and Bryan will speak publicly during sentencing. The mandatory minimum is life in prison in Georgia. Representative Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, only one of two Republicans on the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol attack, reflected on that day. Kinzinger told Bloomberg's Joe Matthew the Republican Party divide could get worse.
I think leaders had an opportunity after January 6th to stand together and actually do what the title says, to lead and say, look, this election wasn't stolen.
Representative Kinzinger also says President Biden's speech and outrage against the January 6th attack was necessary. Kazakhstan's president declared that order had largely been restored in his country following efforts to suppress mass protests that erupted over fuel price increases. Dozens of people were killed, including 12 police officers. Russia and its allies dispatched troops to help quell the demonstrations. SpaceX has launched its next batch of Starlink internet satellites on a Falcon 9 rocket. It left from Florida's Kennedy Space Center last night. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 5:37 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshaw.
All right, Nathan. Knicks and Celtics opened the season with a double overtime Knicks win at the Garden. Their game last night may have topped that one for drama. Knicks trailed by as much as 25. They didn't take their first lead until just over 2 minutes to play. The Celtics' Jason Tatum hit a game-tying shot with a second and a half to go. Looked like overtime again. R.J. Barrett banked in a three-pointer at the buzzer. Knicks won 108-105.
Definitely a tougher shot. You know, Jason's so tall. But, yeah, I mean, every time I shoot, I think it's going in. So, man, that was crazy. I didn't even really see it because I fell. I didn't even see it go in, but just from everybody else's reaction, you know, I could tell. So that was cool.
Barrett had 32 points the other night. He had shot only 3 of 14 before that game winner. Evan Fournier, who didn't score a single point in that win over Indiana, erupted last night. A career-high 41 points, tied a Knicks record with 10 three-pointers, made 10 of 14 in three games against his former team this season, Fournier averaging 36. Tatum led Boston with 36. Same two teams again tomorrow night in Boston. Nets tonight host Milwaukee. The Rangers lost 5-1 in Vegas. Chris Kreider, the lone Ranger goal, was 21st. The Devils beat Columbus 3-1. Jack Hughes, a goal and two assists. On the day Tampa Bay officially released Antonio Brown, the back and forth continues over what led to Brown's meltdown last Sunday at MetLife when he left the field. Brown says he was injured and couldn't play. His coach, Bruce Arians, now says Brown was upset that he wasn't getting the ball thrown to him, hurting his chances to meet incentive clauses in his contract. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
The New York Times has agreed to buy The Athletic, acquiring a sports news website with more than a million subscribers. The newspaper publisher is paying $550 million for The Athletic, which will remain a standalone product. The deal is expected to close by the end of March. New York State will spend $500 million building up ports and manufacturing infrastructure for offshore wind farms in a bid to become home base for the nascent industry. The investments announced Wednesday by Governor Kathy Hochul will focus on building the supply chain for offshore turbines, which can provide clean power to a densely populated coast. Meanwhile, Hochul wants the Empire State to keep the party going on indoors, outdoors, and on the sidewalk. The governor Wednesday asked lawmakers to permanently legalize the sale of to-go alcoholic drinks to keep bars and restaurants afloat. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, the CEO of Abbott Labs talks about the company's efforts to ramp up production of COVID-19 tests.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Deere expects a slow rollout of its autonomous tractors this year.
I'm Caroline Hepke, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on EDF switching off the last of its nuclear power plant at Hunterston in Scotland in the midst of a UK power crunch.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting lithium is posting heavyweight gains thanks to booming electric vehicle sales.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world as we await the release of the December payrolls report, the final read on the labor market of 2021. That's coming out at 8:30 Wall Street time. Ahead of the market open at 9:30 Wall Street time, futures are higher. S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 52, NASDAQ futures higher by 39 points. The 10-year Treasury yield, 1.72%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, winter weather advisory till noon. Another inch of snow possible this morning with a high near 35 degrees. Mostly sunny, low 30s tomorrow. Rain Sunday afternoon. Right now, 29 and snowing in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning as the dollar is lower and risk-taking returns to markets at the end of a turbulent week. Investors are weighing U.S. employment gains against the Federal Reserve's policy tightening plans. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 11 points. Dow futures up 53. NASDAQ futures up 39. The DAX in Germany is down a tenth of a percent. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 1.72%. Yield on the two-year, 0.87%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.1% of 88 cents at $80.34 a barrel. COMEX gold up a tenth of a percent or $2.10 at $17.91.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1307 against the dollar. British pound 1.3542. The yen's at 115.85. And Bitcoin's moving lower at $42,300. And that employment report is out at 8:30 Wall Street time. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The Northeast is getting a visit from Old Man Winter. New Jersey is under a state of emergency because of a winter storm that can dump about 6 inches of snow. Connecticut has closed state offices. New York City has deployed about 1,600 plows throughout the city. Three white men convicted of murder in Georgia in the deadly chase and shooting of Ahmaud Arbery are due back in court for sentencing today. Father and son Greg and Travis McMichael and their neighbor William Bryan are expected to get life in prison. North Korea says it will skip next month's Beijing Olympics because of the COVID-19 pandemic and hostile forces moves. Its statement is largely redundant since it has already been suspended from the games by the IOC. In the NBA, the Knicks beat the Celtics 108-105. The Warriors lost. The Devils won.
The Rangers and Bruins lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get an update now on the pandemic as the Omicron variant continues to rage around the world. Andy Pekosh is with us once again this morning, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Dr. Pekosh, we learned overnight that the world has reached 300 million COVID cases since the pandemic began, and we continue to see records broken almost by the day when it comes to case counts from the Omicron variant. When do you think we're going to start to see this Omicron wave peak?
Really difficult to predict, particularly with this variant, because it's really behaving in such a different way from other variants in terms of its really off-the-charts level of transmission, plus the different disease that it's causing and the different symptoms that it's causing. So some of the estimates are still there's about a 10 to 14 day window right now where we should expect to see a peak before it starts to go down. And if we look at other countries, the reduction in cases should go fast, as fast as the increase in cases. So those are things to be positive about, but it's still a little bit too early to make any firm predictions.
The World Health Organization yesterday was saying Omicron may appear less serious, but that doesn't mean it's mild. How do you view the severity of this strain?
I think Omicron has really sort of split this pandemic into a couple of different populations. I think if you're vaccinated, in particular if you're vaccinated and boosted, you will deal with this infection. It'll seem you'll have some symptoms probably, but you should be able to recover within a few days. I think if you're unvaccinated or if you've been previously infected and you never got your vaccine, I think this is a pretty serious disease. You can still see the people that are coming into the hospital with serious disease are primarily unvaccinated people. So it really depends on what you've done to this date in terms of protecting yourself from SARS-CoV-2. If you've gotten some vaccines and the booster, you should be able to deal with this disease. But if you haven't, this is still a pretty serious disease.
Are we getting a clear picture about hospitalizations caused by COVID, whether it's Omicron or any other variant? We've heard from the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, saying hospitals should do a better job of breaking down patients who are admitted with COVID as opposed to patients who come into hospitals for other things and then they find out they have COVID after the fact and get included in many cases.
It very much depends on the hospital system that you go to. I know here at Johns Hopkins we do a very good job of sorting out both of those populations, because it is interesting to see that there are people that come into the hospital for other reasons that end up testing positive for COVID-19. Again, those individuals tend to be vaccinated and boosted and are having a very mild infection. But certainly there is a major surge in people coming into the hospital strictly because of COVID-19 symptoms and having very severe symptoms. So we do need to sort those two populations out, because it's the ones coming in with the severe disease that we need to keep track of most diligently.
Also wanted to ask you about this new study that came out yesterday, funded by the government, into whether vaccines have an effect on women's menstrual cycles, that the vaccines can delay periods by up to a day. What do you know about this? Is this a cause for concern?
It's not a cause for concern. It's something that honestly hasn't been investigated that carefully, but there are some small studies around suggesting that things like an infection or a vaccination can sometimes have an effect on a woman's menstrual cycle. I know here at Hopkins and in several other places, there are major studies now going on to try to understand this. So it's something that is not unheard of, but really needs more study to try to understand what this means and what's causing it.
Only about 30 seconds left here. So it doesn't raise any concerns for you about the overall safety of vaccines?
No, it's just another, it's a representation of the, of some of the side effects that we don't really capture well, particularly because we need to have a better eye on age and gender and biological sex in terms of how those things impact our responses to vaccines.
All right. Thanks, as always. Dr. Andy Pekosh of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg, the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP. That is the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is coming up to 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, we're looking at the conviction of Ghislaine Maxwell. She was found guilty of engaging in a 10-year sex trafficking scheme with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, that verdict could be overturned because of comments from a juror. In interviews since the verdict, a juror said he was a victim of sex abuse as a child and that his story helped sway other members of the panel. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to former federal prosecutor Jessica Roth, a professor at Cardozo Law School.
Clearly, the questionnaire that the jurors had to fill out asks, have you or a friend or a family member ever been the victim of sexual harassment, sexual abuse, or sexual assault? So does it seem clear that something is wrong? Either he made a mistake on his questionnaire or he omitted information to get on the jury.
So we don't know how he answered that question on his questionnaire because it's under seal. And it seems unlikely that he answered it in a way that disclosed the abuse, because if he had, it is likely that the attorneys would have asked follow-up questions about it. And according to the reporting, the transcript of the voir dire does not reveal any follow-up questioning of this particular juror on that issue. So that suggests that he did not disclose it on his questionnaire, or that he did disclose it, but the lawyers didn't catch it. And that's important because the court is going to inquire into his possible motive for not disclosing it. If the court were to determine that he did not disclose it deliberately in order to get on the jury, then that would be more indicative of harboring some bias and wanting to get on to the jury in order to render a verdict against the defendant.
Memories and how they relate to sexual abuse victims was a contentious point at the trial. And this juror said that his personal experience helped convince other jurors about the victim's memories. How will the judge get to the bottom of what happened in deliberations?
That's one of the more interesting aspects of this new turn in the case, which is that although the jurors have suggested in their accounts to the media that they brought their experiences into the jury room with them and used them to persuade other jurors who may have been initially skeptical of the victim's witness's credibility, the judge is not going to consider evidence about the jury deliberations. That's because there's a federal rule of evidence that expressly prohibits a judge from considering testimony or an affidavit from a juror about conduct or statements that occurred during the jury's deliberation. That's a rule of longstanding precedent, and it's designed to protect the privacy of jury deliberations. The concern is that if jurors are not assured of the privacy of their deliberations, that they will be less candid. Courts have been willing to accept the fact that this rule may result in occasional injustice, but they have said that they do not think that the jury system could survive efforts to perfect it.
And that's Cardozo Law Professor Jessica Roth speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading this show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and at the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And again, futures are moving higher this morning. S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 50, NASDAQ futures up about 40. And the 10-year Treasury, little change. The yield, 1.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.87%. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.